Hi, everyone. Welcome to Movies with My Mother. This is Lexi.
And I'm Mom Lori.
And today we watched Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
Yeah.
It was from 1991. It was rated R, and it was 2 hours, 17 minutes long, directed by James Cameron.
Yes.
Did you did money. What did you see for money?
Oh, okay. Let me turn the page. Money is not on the front. Big money. Big, big, big money.
Yeah, I saw big money,
like,
too.
Like 94 to 102 million.
That's what I saw. I saw about 102 million.
Yep, yep. And box office was even more dramatic. 519 to 521 million.
That's about what I got for world.
Holy shit.
Yeah, worldwide gross.
Yes.
Crazy.
And this is another movie that has been selected to go into the Library of Congress.
Oh, really?
Yep. It happened last year, 2023.
That's cool.
Yep.
The basic plot is that a cyborg identical to the one that failed to kill Sarah Connor must now protect her 10-year-old son, John, from an even more advanced and powerful cyborg.
Yeah. That kid was only 10?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I didn't, driving that motorcycle around town, I would think that the cops would be looking at him.
Well, you would think, but, you know.
Yeah.
The wild 90s.
I guess. Stealing $300 right off the top. Holy cow.
Well, that was all stuff that he learned along the way to, you know.
Yeah.
Help the cause.
Right. To move the cause ahead.
Yeah.
And he was moving him and his buddy's cause ahead at the video store.
At the arcade.
The arcade. Yeah. Pretty exciting.
Yeah. This is one of Justin's favorite movies only because there's a big arcade scene.
Oh, okay.
And Justin's got a soft spot for arcade, 90s malls, 80s malls.
Yes.
And arcades.
Well, that's because that's his age.
Yeah.
You know, John Connor is this age now. So, you know, so it absolutely fits.
The main cast is Arnold Schwarzenegger, Linda Hamilton, Edward Furlong, Robert Patrick, Earl Bowen, Joe Morton, S. Ipatha Merkerson, Castulo Guerrera, Danny Cooksey, Jeanette Goldstein, and Xander Berkeley.
When I looked this up, there were 45 actors pictured. Whew, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Well, it is to me, you know, that's a lot.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Crazy, huh?
Yeah, those are just the main faces that you recognize.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They got an Academy Award for Best Visual Effects.
I saw that.
Best Makeup and Hairstyling.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why, because all those people had awful hair.
But the makeup, the special effects makeup.
Yeah, I know. And Best Sound Mixing. I was impressed by all of that. Now that we've been, you know, looking at these movies more, that's a real art to get that stuff to match the movie.
I saw that they also won for Best Sound Effects.
I said that.
Did you? Sound effects, editing, best effects, visual effects, and makeup. That's what I wrote down.
I thought that's what I said. But who knows?
I only heard three, but I also am on drugs.
Well, yeah, aren't we all? Best sound mixing. Yeah, I've said that. Best sound mixing.
Oh, okay.
Because there's the three. Best movie, hairstyle, and mixing.
No, I got four.
Oh, okay. Well, let's see if I have it written somewhere else that they have more.
It was nominated for a bunch.
Yes. I can see why. I mean, this was a pretty darn dramatic movie.
Yeah.
I don't understand the discrepancy, though, between the, you know, suburbia and then the ravaged plains. I don't. Am I missing something there? You know, when they got to that helicopter place, the guy in the bus. You know, that was all scorched earth types. Terrain there.
Oh, well, yeah, that guy was just probably living off the grid.
Oh, okay.
You know, you're running guns, you've got little kids. You know, he's probably 100% off the grid.
Okay. I kind of like, guess I missed that.
You saw the air conditioning unit in the trailer, and I was just like, why would they even be hooked up to the power grid?
Well, I'm sure they had, well, no. Did they have solar back then?
No, not like they do now.
Okay. But then on the other hand, you know, was.
And you would have heard a generator, a gas-powered generator.
That's true.
So, you know, what was power in that AC?
I don't know. I read somewhere in here that he got around, well, Arnold got around $12 million to do this movie.
I read 15.
But then on the other hand, Hamilton only got $1 million.
Well, that's the disparity between male stars and female stars.
Right. You know, who was really the biggest star of this movie? I think it was the girl. You know, this all revolves around the girl. But, yeah, and you're right. Men make more money than women no matter what.
Yeah. I read that Arnold had 700 words of dialogue, which was a big step up from, like, 14 lines.
Yes.
In the first movie.
Yes. I think I read that, but I don't think I wrote it down.
One of the cool things I read was the first choice for the T-1000 was Michael Biehn, who played Kyle Reese.
Oh.
Since, you know, the opposite Terminator, you know, the Terminator with the opposite goal came this time.
Yes. Yes, that kind of would make sense.
The hero with the opposite goal would have, you know, but that idea was abandoned because it was judged as too confusing for viewers. I thought, as soon as I read that, I'm like, oh yeah, that would have been cool.
Yeah, I think so. This is Terminator 2 is considered the best sequel ever. Well, you know, of its time. And it set the bar high for CGI.
Okay.
Let's see, what else?
Well, talking about the CGI, I told you when... When Robert Patrick first lands and that cop comes upon him and he's kind of, and he goes and crouches down by the cop that was down to steal his stuff. There was a rock, like a piece of concrete that was CGI'd in because you could see part of Robert Patrick's ball sack. And they were like, oh, this isn't getting past the...
It would have been rated X or something like that.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I read that. I didn't write that part down, but I read it and I thought it was so funny.
Oh my goodness, that is funny. Let's see. This, of course, you know, we talked about Cameron before.
Yeah.
And how He really built his business from the bottom up, didn't he?
Yeah.
And so you have to respect him for that. This was supposed to be the end of the franchise.
Yeah, because he dies at the end.
Right. But then four more movies were made.
Well, I mean, the lore of it leaves room for more sequels.
Right. And actually, the Terminator can be absolutely anyone. It doesn't have to be Arnold or this other guy. Literally can be anyone because they just put the skin on the machine.
Right.
So in the next four movies, is Arnold associated with any of the? I did not look that up.
At least one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Linda Hamilton even comes back in the, I think, the last one.
Oh, what for?
Don't know. She ain't dead yet.
Oh, okay. She's the queen of it all.
I mean, pretty
If
much.
it weren't for her, there would be no revolution.
That's true.
That's the way I get it from what I've seen. So that's pretty cool.
There would be no resistance to the revolution without her.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Yep, I get that absolutely. Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
What else? What oh, there was a lot of when this there was a lot of to-do getting this movie made.
Oh, yeah.
Because remember James Cameron had sold off part of the movie to Carol Ann Hurd.
Oh, okay.
And apparently she had sold some of it to a company. Let me see if I can find this real quick.
I think her name was Gail, not Carol.
Oh, you know what? I wrote Gail or Carol the other day, and I crossed it off and wrote Gail over the top of it, and not Carol is in my mind now. She sold it to, or somehow, a company called Hemdale had rights to it.
Oh, okay.
And they had some difficulty putting this together because Hemdale didn't kind of wanna. I don't know if they were holding out for more money or not, or what the deal was. But in the end, Cameron did get back the rights to all of the movie from both of them. And, they had to put the movie together in where did I write that? Like 7 weeks.
Oh, wow.
So to you know, as the time went on and the time got shorter, they were down to like 7 weeks to get it written and the screenplay ready so that they could get the movie on.
Really?
Yes.
I feel like I read somewhere that, like, principal photography took like 6 months.
Oh wow. Well, that absolutely makes sense. This was a lot of visual effects, a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I don't know if that's that money that they bought the rights for. There were different numbers in different places where I read. One said Gail Ann Hurd got 5 million and Hemdale got 10. And then it said something else. And I thought, well, I wondered if that movie that was part of the budget. Because that's a lot of money.
I don't know. Could be.
Who has that in their sock drawer?
Well,
I guess,
financiers.
yeah. Yeah, I'd like to have their socks then. Yeah, here it is. It took, they had to, because of the financial stuff, they only had 6 to 7 weeks to rewrite the sequel. Cameron and Wisher went together and worked on it to and developed the film.
Okay.
So that was, I thought that was pretty cool to do something like this in 7 weeks. My goodness.
Yeah,
I can
crazy.
Barely sweep my kitchen floor in 7 weeks. You know, it takes me 3 days to find the broom. No, I guess it takes me 3 days to work up the ambition to find the broom.
That's the real problem.
That's it in a nutshell.
3 minutes to do the job.
Exactly.
It takes 3 months to work up to it.
I know. Reginald Manchego is making more fur balls every day.
Oh,
so,
dear.
You know. Okay, what else? Let's see, what else did I find? I'm reading this. I don't know why I can't remember this stuff. Okay, it only took him 4 weeks to write the story and then rewrite it.
Oh, okay.
And the special effects company was Industrial Light and Magic.
Oh, okay.
And they had to find them to do this. You know, I guess that was CGI infancy.
Okay.
Back then.
Yeah.
So, you know, look how far it's come now. Another little tidbit I read was that Arnold trained with a stunt coordinator to be able to do some of these stunts.
Okay.
I thought that was pretty interesting. I mean, you don't think of, what I would think of as a big star doing his own stunts. Would, you know, how could they afford to do that?
Well, I mean, you know, when you've got more time than money.
Well, yes.
In that vein, I read that Linda Hamilton received weapons and physical training for 3 hours a day, 6 days a week for 13 weeks.
Holy cow. Didn't she do something like that, too, for the Terminator movie? Didn't we read something about that, too?
Trained? No, that was Arnold. Arnold trained with the weapons forever.
Yes.
Field stripping and everything.
Yes. I do remember that. Yes, that amazes me that. Well, but then on the other hand, you know, that's the part that you want to look the best. You know, that all that gunplay and bombing and stuff.
Right. And speaking of looking the best, Robert Patrick undertook a rigorous running regime and practiced breathing only through his nose in order to appear more cyborg-like and, you know, to not show fatigue as he ran. That was him running, chasing that dirt bike.
That is crazy. You told me that while the movie was on, and I thought that is absolutely bizarre. But that guy had great form.
Yeah.
He was very upright. His arms were in a good position. His legs moved so smoothly. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, when he jumped that bush. Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy. That is crazy. But yeah, I can see that. But that's what their job is. Their job is to be the best they can be at what they're doing.
Right.
I get it.
You know, when you're getting paid a buttload of money, you're going to, you know, I would be motivated to do a great job.
I don't know. I don't, you know. All right, you're right. I would.
I read that Edward Furlong had a major growth spurt and voice change during filming.
Oh my goodness.
And adjustments had to be made while filming and in post-production to help keep the continuity of him looking like a 10-year-old boy when in reality he was about 14.
Oh dear. That's funny. But you know, that's what you got to do when you're hiring kids.
Yeah.
Kids change so fast.
So fast.
You know, it's hard to keep up with them.
During the elevator shootout.
Which one? The first one?
The first one.
Uh-huh.
In the mental hospital.
Yes.
Linda Hamilton suffered some permanent hearing damage in one ear because during a break in filming, she had taken her ear plugs out and hadn't put it back in.
Oh no. Oh dear.
Yeah.
Her sister was also in this movie.
In the scenes where there needed to be two Sarah Connors, when the T-100 imitates her in the mirror image scene, and when she's watching herself on the playground,
Yes.
that was her sister, Leslie Hamilton Guerin.
Yes.
Guerin. She just died in the last year.
2020.
2020.
Yeah, says here,
Damn.
died August of 2020. And I know we've talked about this before because we've seen other movies with her in them. And I thought it was closer to now than then too. That is 4 years.
I okay. That was just the other day.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, crazy.
Okay.
She died as she oh crumbs. She died in Mount
Okay.
Laurel, New Jersey.
Wow, okay.
I know a lot of places that are named Laurel
Yeah.
because that's important to me. See, what else? What else did I find real interesting?
The Terminators seen at the beginning of the movie were fully workable animatronic models.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, this is funny. The phrase hasta la vista, baby, is translated to sayonara, baby, in the Spanish version of the film
Just
to preserve the humorous nature of the line.
sayonara, baby. Why would that be in the Spanish one?
Because hasta la vista, babe, hasta la vista is Spanish.
Yeah, but I...
Because it's tongue in cheek. An English
okay.
kid saying something goofy in Spanish. So somebody saying something goofy in Spanish to a Spanish speaker, it's not goofy.
I guess. And that last that one of those movies we watched recently, the had the Russian and the German.
Yeah, that was Mad Max.
Because one sounds foreign to one group and the other sounds foreign to the other group.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. Yeah, that's weird stuff.
Before becoming involved with Terminator 2, James Cameron had been in serious contention to direct The Fisher King.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's a departure.
Yeah.
I mean, from Terminator. I mean, I know he does all kinds of movies.
Yeah.
Let's see, do I have some of the other movies he's done?
He's done the Avatar movies.
Yes. Yes, because we did discuss that, and you were surprised that a couple of the movies he did.
Who ended up directing The Fisher King?
I can look that up.
Terry Gilliam.
Oh, okay. That's really not a familiar name to me. I'm
Terry
sure it is to
Gilliam?
you.
He's a Python.
Oh, yes.
He's the American Monty Python.
Yes.
He was a Patsy, the guy with the coconuts.
Yep. Huh. Interesting, interesting. Let's see, who did the music? I looked at the music this time because because we've already talked really about James Cameron. I know I have it here. Oh, you'd think that we weren't prepared. I feel like I was prepared, but I sure don't feel like it now. Because my light just went out.
Yeah, I had the little lamp on for something else today because I didn't trust those light bulbs.
I guess.
Well, here, I'll fill in some more trivia.
Okay.
Originally, Enrique was the leader of a militia, but Cameron felt that was too dark for the for that part of the film.
Well, why? Because, you know, she went to the militia. Okay.
I guess the inference there is that, you know, all of that machinery was not his. He was just safeguarding it.
Oh, I think I felt like they implied in the movie that it was Sarah's equipment.
That's what I mean. Like that he was just watching it. That he and I think that in order to portray yourself as somebody as a militia type, you yourself have to be armed to the teeth.
Oh. Okay. Well, I don't see it that way, but all right.
I mean, I don't know. I'm just.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Throwing something at the wall.
Right. Right. Interesting.
In the Terminator lore, dogs are used to sniff out Terminators, and this is why Max the dog is barking incessantly at Janelle when the T-1000 is impersonating her.
Yes, I said that. Remember?
Yeah.
The dogs. I knew right away when they mentioned those dogs, they looked out there. I thought, that's why.
But then there was the part when they are, was that when they were at Enrique's and the dogs didn't bark?
Why weren't I said to you, why aren't those dogs barking?
Yeah. Well, maybe because Arnold was programmed to do good.
I don't think that matters to dogs.
I don't think so either, but I don't know. I think that's what you're. I think that's the logic leap you're supposed to make.
Oh, all right.
Is it because he was programmed to not be a bad Terminator? The dogs weren't going to bug him.
Okay. I can accept that. I can accept that reasoning. I get it.
I don't know. There's several Pepsi and Subway product placement product placements in the film.
A lot of them.
Yeah.
More than I think in the first movie. I don't remember.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't remember any particular product placement in the first movie.
No. Even the diner that she worked at was generic.
Right, right. But on the other hand, that was a long time ago that we watched that movie, you know.
Right. And I think at that time, product placement wasn't such a thing.
Right.
What did we learn in High Anxiety about product placement? That there was something about, you know, no product placement was allowed.
Right. That wasn't allowed. Oh, but in the 90s, it was heavy.
It was crazy.
Every movie in the 90s had some sort of product placement.
Right.
Interesting. Fun.
Yeah. Steven Seagal was under early consideration for the T-1000.
Okay.
He would have just karate'd Arnold to death.
I could see him doing it, though. I can see him in that part, can't you?
As the laziest villain ever.
Yes. Yes, now I think of Steven Seagal as lazy.
Fat and lazy?
Fat and lazy, yeah. He's going to come to us and he's going to whip our asses.
Well... Rumor has it that's not out of character for him.
Oh no.
So.
Oh no. Okay. The William Wisher, the guy that worked with Cameron to write this.
Okay.
Is also an actor.
Oh, okay.
And in the first movie, he was the cop killed. Remember the cop? Remember Terminator took the car and then he broadcasts. I don't remember what he broadcasted over the radio, but he broadcasted over the radio in the cop's voice. Remember
okay.
that?
Yeah.
That's the cop. That was the guy that helped write this.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and it says he's also in this movie.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't. Let me look and see what.
Yeah, I wasn't paying attention.
I didn't pay attention to it either. Oh.
What did you think of the female guard in the mental hospital with the arm cast? What did you think of her hairdo?
It was weird. Was
yeah.
it like rolls?
It was like pompadour.
Yes.
But like with a little curl at the back edge.
Yes. That was weird.
It wasn't. That was a definite choice, and I don't understand it.
Does it say who that nurse was? I don't see it.
Oh, I don't know.
And I'm not seeing this guy either. To see who he played, but he was probably one of the cops or something.
Oh, probably.
You know, wait a minute. I think I've gone to a different movie. Oh, my goodness. Nope, this is the right movie. But yeah. That was weird. Plus, she was like the only one there that was like really dressed like a cop until those men came up. You know what I mean? Do you remember that?
No, because there was the other cop that was getting a cup of coffee.
Right, until he came up. She was the only, looked like security, cop, whatever.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Until then. And I thought, well, other than the guy at the gate.
Right.
But I would think in a situation like that, there would be a whole hell of a lot more security than just those guys walking around with sticks. Anybody could have taken one of those sticks away from them and beat the shit out of them.
Well, I mean, you would think, but, you know, they've got these people pumped up on Thorazine, so,
yeah, right.
You know,
right.
How many people are, you know, how many people jacked up on Thorazine are going to fight a nightstick away from you?
I can't imagine many.
Exactly.
You're right. Okay.
Even though that was a maximum security wing, you would think.
And I would think for, you know, a hospital for the criminally insane, there would have been more force there.
You would think.
But, you know, there again, is it just me who's looking at stuff like that? To question stuff like I questioned you the whole movie. Don't question stuff. Just leave it as it is.
Well, I think the ambiguity of it all like lends itself to questions like that.
Okay.
You know, you would think, but I don't know. I've never been in a hospital for the criminally insane. I don't know.
Well, I mean, we've driven past them a million times. There's one right down on Detroit Avenue. And it's all brick and razor wire and
yeah,
you know, there's always cop cars over there. But I no, inside I don't know what's inside. And there every car there is not a cop car.
No.
You know, there's got to be nurses and doctors inside there.
Oh, I'm sure.
But it just seems like there should be more security, more force.
I mean, you would think. I would think. But I don't know. You know, with the way everything else is staffed, I mean, why would they be
right,
you know, at capacity?
Right. Right.
The sunglasses the T-800 wears are Persol model 58230.
The aviator ones?
No.
Say it again. I missed it.
The sunglasses, the T-800. That's
oh,
Arnold.
Okay.
Where's our Persol model 58230?
I thought they were Ray-Bans.
In the first movie, they were.
Okay. They weren't as cool as ours.
No, it's true. John's dirt bike was a 1990 XR100.
Okay. I guess if I were a 10-year-old boy, that would be him.
Exciting.
Yeah. And if he was in a foster home, where'd that come from?
That he needed legal guardians because Sarah was in a mental institution.
No, I'm talking about the motorbike. Where'd the motorbike come from?
Oh,
A kid in a foster home, they don't get motorbikes.
you would, yeah. But he seemed to have a lot of stuff from his old life. You know, the ATM cracker.
Right. That nobody noticed. Nobody in any agency noticed that
Right.
kind of equipment? Or did he build it on his own when he got somewhere?
I
You
don't
know,
know.
had he been in other foster homes?
I don't know. Are these people related to him?
See, that's what I said. I have too many questions.
Yeah.
I want to know all of this, not just. But of course, we're not watching these movies to just watch a movie, are we?
No.
We're looking at these movies to ask these questions.
As Miles Dyson walks to the Cyberdyne vault, he holds the door open for the cameraman.
I missed that.
Yeah,
Damn
I
it.
did too. I was gonna look for it and I didn't.
Oh, darn. They didn't even have somebody there to hold the door open.
Nope.
Oh my goodness. They could have spent a couple of extra bucks, you know.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. That's funny. That's funny.
The two detectives that interview Sarah when they're like, this guy was seen in 1984 and this guy was seen, you know, yesterday and your son's missing. Those cops,
Yes.
they were named Mossberg and Weatherby. Those are names of firearm brands.
Oh my goodness, I didn't read that.
And I only know Mossberg because it's a pump action rifle. A Mossberg pump.
Both Sarah and the Terminator both use pump action guns.
Yeah.
And that's the scary part of it, you know, the that pump. If
That.
you're creeping around, that yeah, I'd be afraid.
Hell yeah.
There used to be an app on the phone that you could get that, and if you shook your phone, it did that.
Oh, cool.
I should look to see if that's still around. That's funny. Oh my goodness, that's kind of exciting then.
And one of the last little bits of trivia that I read, but I didn't write down, is that when Miles Dyson is dying and he's doing that hyperventilating,
Yes.
he had had a collapsed lung in real life
And he remembered that?
at one point and drew upon how he had to pretend to breathe to do that death scene.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah, that was pretty neat.
Wow. Yeah, that kind of seemed very authentic to me. You know, none of the bullets really killed him, but all of the bullets killed him,
Yeah.
you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, well, wow. I would have liked to have seen him put the gas off sooner, though. That would have been better. Set those cups of gas off sooner.
Oh yeah. Hello, all those police out.
Yes. Listen to me critiquing a movie like I can.
Mom's been listening to NWA.
NWA, what's that?
That's an old rap group that one of their songs was called Fuck the Police.
Oh, a musical. You know, I recognize that name.
I can't tell you what it means in polite company.
NWA. Well, I imagine it's a little bit nasty.
It is.
Okay.
We can't in good conscience say it out
No,
loud.
yeah, you all know what it is anyway.
Anybody who knows anything about rap music knows
Old
who
lady
NWA is.
mom is the only one who doesn't know what it really means. So, and I think if I probably thought hard enough, I could figure it out. But that doesn't seem interesting to me.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
There was a bit of music in here.
Okay, no NWA.
No NWA.
But did you see that John Connor was wearing a Public Enemy shirt?
I did.
That's cool.
I did.
Chuck D, Flava Flav.
I just saw a commercial for Flava Flav. Flava Flav's the luckiest man in the world. And then he's quotes all the women he's sitting with. Oh, well. You'll have to watch TV for that. So, I thought Flava Flav was pretty old, but
he is.
In the commercial, he doesn't look old. I mean, is this something old that they're showing?
No, black don't crack.
I guess.
The man's like 75.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
He's got about 100 kids.
Well, yeah. Yeah. This music was by Brad Fidel.
Okay.
He's written for film and TV. He's very well known for his collabs with Cameron.
Okay.
He uses mostly synthesized music.
Oh.
But he also uses other music because he is a musician.
Cool.
He retired in the 90s and is working on creating original musicals.
Oh, wow. Okay.
In the 70s, he was with Paul Simon, Paul Simon's company.
Sure.
He did 6 months of keyboard for Hall & Oates.
Okay.
For the group formerly Hall & Oates.
Just depends on who's getting a paycheck right now.
Right. He's done movies and commercials.
Wow, okay.
In the 80s, when he started working with Cameron, he also worked with other action thrillers. I thought that was pretty neat. He found a genre he liked and worked with it.
That's cool.
Later in the 90s, he went back to working with Cameron again for other music. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know, we always try to find a little something extra that interests us.
Yeah.
And that interests me. Synthesized music interests me.
Yeah, I like synth music.
Yeah, they have classes for that at Bowling Green State University.
Oh, cool.
Because I knew that teacher of synthesized music.
Yeah, that lady.
Remember her?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Which, that stuff like that amazes me that you can do that at the college level. You can be a teacher of that. What?
Hey.
Isn't that something you do in the, you know, in the 70s?
No.
No, because it's not.
Thomas Dolby is like a professor at a big college somewhere.
Yes.
Of like, you know, I think it's like digital music or something.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Absolutely.
You know, Thomas Dolby.
Dolby Sound.
Dolby Sound, yeah. But he did You Blinded Me with Science.
Yes. Yes.
Science.
I was going to do that just before you did it. Because that's cool.
We're cool.
We're hip.
Yeah.
Okay. We were hip in the 80s, I guess.
Well, yeah.
We haven't talked about our food.
Oh, no.
We decided we should have gone with Subway.
We should have.
But we went with Mexican.
Yeah.
And it was delicious.
It was delicious. And I'm happier with that. Subway's not my favorite.
Yes. I understand.
Because, you know, Subway, it's either really good or really bad. There's no in between.
Yep, and we had canned tamales. What did you think of it?
I thought they were a little spicy, but...
They were not as bad as you thought they would be.
No.
Weren't they?
Overall, it kind of tasted like canned ravioli with spicy sauce.
I thought that they tasted like something else. Yes, canned ravioli would be that thing.
Yeah.
Yes. With a spicy sauce, yes.
Because the The masa was real soft.
Right. And
real soft.
I think that
not
was,
very corny.
No, I think that that was probably because it was in sauce.
Yeah. Well, that could be.
You know, I should have driven over to the South End and got tamales.
Yeah.
But I just couldn't drag myself over there.
Ugh, it's such a pain in the ass. That construction sucks. And that parking lot sucks already.
And I got a big car, too.
Yes.
But that should not have stopped me. It was kind of a tight week for me. I had a couple things going.
It's been a real tight week.
And you had a couple of appointments. That's beyond believing.
Yeah.
So, but your hair looks good. I did not mention that when I came in. I thought, oh, your hair looks nice.
Even though it's barely combed and...
Well, you know, what can I say?
Yeah.
Combing is overrated.
It's just, you know, it does what it wants. So, yeah. You know, why do I fight it?
And mine just hangs down straight. There's nothing, no excitement left to it.
Your hair looked cute today.
Oh, thanks. I did wash it yesterday.
Okay.
You know, and I did comb it because I had to go, you know, out yesterday. So.
Okay.
But, you know, it just doesn't want to. I used to have, you know, wavy hair and I could do something with it. Not anymore. Not anymore. It's all done.
I hit 35 and my hair turned curly.
Which is crazy because you never had curly hair.
Never had curly hair. I've never had hair that held a curl.
Yep. Who knows?
I don't know. It's crazy.
Yep. It's the weather.
It's genetics.
That sounds so boring.
Well, I mean, real life is boring.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I did. I used to have nice hair like you. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Interesting.
Yeah, but that's all right. It's fine.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, we did a TikTok.
Oh, yes. You know us. We're insane. What are you seeing? It's the wrong day for our fans to be watching us.
We got a couple new followers, and somebody commented, "Thank you for your service, ladies."
What does that mean?
I don't know, but I'll take it.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks. You're welcome. And we did mention in our TikTok our two followers that told us we really need to. Told me I really needed to watch this.
Yeah. Superfan Scott and The Real My Toes on TikTok.
Yeah.
They were like, "Mom, you gotta watch it." And she's just like, "All right." So we did. It came on Peacock and I said, "Mom."
Yep.
This is what we should be doing.
Yes, but it's the wrong day for us. You know, we usually do this on a Saturday when more people are home. With us doing a midnight movie on Friday, because Mom has Mom's going out to a birthday party tomorrow, so I can't watch a movie.
Right? Yeah, and I've got nails, so I mean that means you'd have to come over about 6 a.m. 5 a.m.
Right.
Do you want to be up that early?
Well, I usually am.
Well, me too, but like, do you want to be up that early?
No. No, not usually. And I never have pants on at that time. You know, so I would have to come over here in my nightshirt and, you know, Justin would be running from the house trying to gouge his eyes out.
No, well, no, he wouldn't be here, but so that would be fine. I don't care. Because I would just be in my nightshirt, too.
Right. You don't like to have pants on at 5 a.m. Well, yeah, you go to work at that time.
Well.
So you probably have pants on at 5 a.m. a lot.
During the work week, I do.
Yeah.
But, like, to go sit on the porch with butterscotch, I just put my bathrobe on.
Yep. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, this is a Friday for us, and it's a
Yeah,
midnight movie.
it's definitely a midnight movie. It is 6 p.m. It is way past my bedtime. I have been yawning the entire time we've been
Oh
talking.
my God. I've heard you yawning, but that's okay.
I'm trying to keep it away from the mic because it's there, those big stretch yawns.
Now we're talking about it. I want to yawn. So stop it.
Sorry.
Right.
We've got a couple of in memoriams.
Oh yes, we have several. I mean, my goodness, this was an interesting time recently. Shelley Duvall just the other day.
Yeah, just the other day, 75 complications of diabetes.
That's crazy.
She had been in kind of rough shape in the last decade or so.
Yeah.
Oh, fun fact, her middle name is Alexis.
I was going to say that. I have that in my notes. She's known for Annie Hall and The Shining. The Shining was really her biggest movie, I
Oh
think.
yeah, 100%. And she played olive oil in Popeye with Robin
Yes,
Williams.
yes. And she got a Razzie, and I don't know. I don't exactly remember when she got the Razzie. Oh, it was for The Shining. Like, the worst actress or something. But in 2022, the committee felt they reviewed it and they took it away because they felt that the way she was treated by Stanley Kubrick probably reflected on the way she was acting. Which, having never seen that movie, I don't know, but she's worked with some crazy people. If she was in Annie Hall, I mean, that's got to be rough.
She worked with Robert Altman a lot. They had a very good working relationship.
Okay.
And in The Shining, she plays a housewife to a man who has a problem with alcohol.
Yep.
She's got a son that has an invisible friend that may or may not be something good. And they think it's. I think the doctors are telling her that it's because her husband is an alcoholic and he has mistreated the boy.
Yeah.
And this woman has spent her married life on eggshells. And you can see very much in her performance that she's a woman that is trying to make the best of the situation she is in.
And apparently people didn't like that.
Well, I think she's an odd-looking woman.
She is, with
And
those eyes and her long
I
face.
think and I think that people really get stuck on the fact that she's an odd-looking woman that was playing a woman on the edge.
Aren't we kind of all odd-looking women?
Well, I mean, not the pretty women.
No, there's,
They're just pretty.
yeah.
There's a big difference between, you and me regular jerk-offs and then gorgeous women.
Right. But I knew who Shelley Duvall was. I
Yeah. And
recognized her
do
talents.
you remember watching Fairy Tale Theater
Yes.
on PBS or whatever?
Yes.
Yep, I remember that. We were talking about that at work. And the girl that sits across from me, she's a little bit younger. She didn't recognize
Oh, really?
Fairy Tale Theater.
Oh. I did read about that, but I can't think of the years that it was real active. Maybe it was only for a couple of years.
Probably, and I think it was, in the late 80s, probably early 90s.
Yeah.
Because I remember Blythe watched it. She really got into it.
So that's just 4 years younger than you.
Yeah.
Interesting. Very interesting. We also lost Robert Towne at 89. Director, screenwriter, what his, I think it was his first big movie was Chinatown.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He was considered one of the founders of the New Hollywood movement. And I know we have talked about that many times, the New Hollywood movement. That started in the 60s, and it was more, it was less direction and oversight of the studios and more to the directors running the film.
Oh, okay.
We've seen several movies that were considered New Hollywood.
I feel like that.
But we've also seen many pictures where we've talked about this or that had to change because the studio said so. And you know, if you're an artist like these directors are and these actors, why would there be some suit saying what you should do?
Well, I feel like that's the purse string holder. I'm holding the purse string, so you're going to do what I want,
right?
Or I'm going to take the money away,
right? So, you know, and when the directors, I think that was kind of when the money went into the movies that got so big. The like Chinatown, that was a big movie.
Yeah.
And I think that that was, you know, a big step in the direction of having the directors take the lead and not the studio.
Okay.
Let's see. That affected every type of entertainment, TVs, movies, even art and literature. That it was not the, you know, the guy who was financing everything, but the artist who was doing the project is the one that was in charge of it.
Okay.
Some of the other new Hollywood movies were The Graduate, Night of the Living Dead, Easy Rider. That kind of hastened the end of when the theaters were all owned by the big name production company. The studios. The studios. It used to be the movie theaters were owned by the studios.
Oh, really?
And I think somewhere in my head I knew that, because we've talked about New Hollywood before. But, you know, and I do remember that there were shakeups in theaters in the 60s and 70s and 80s when I was younger and, you know, knew about stuff like that. And it talked about, and also that was a time when a lot of stuff was changing. Baby boomers, our country kind of went from high school graduates working in blue collar jobs and factories and things to more college educated and technologically advanced stuff.
Yeah, okay.
You know, and that all hastened the demise of the studios and their control over everything that went into a movie.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
We boomers didn't want to see studio stuff. We wanted to see new, exciting stuff. You know, we went to the movies for entertainment, and they did too, but we had TV. The whole bunch of people before us didn't have TV. They went to the movies and the news was there and, you know, that stuff. So
sure. Yeah. Okay.
That really was big change in everything in Hollywood. So that different time. And also if you're from anywhere around Northwest Ohio, Pat Daly died at the age of 83.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The Jimmy Buffett of the North.
Yep. He was a regular out in Put-in-Bay. And had many, many shows and traveled all over this part of the country singing and doing shows and being on different podcasts. What I tell you? Dave and Chuck. He was on Dave and Chuck a lot.
No. Bob and Tom.
Bob and Tom, yes.
Yeah, Bob and Tom.
You listened to Dave and Chuck.
Yeah, I used to listen to Dave and Chuck.
See, I didn't, after we talked about it, I didn't write it down. So now I'm confused. So yeah, so some, you know, big names.
Yeah.
Big names died in the last couple of weeks.
Also, the son on Elf, like, he just died.
Oh. I did not read that.
They think he apparently had mental problems and insomnia issues, and he had gone to the bank one day. Him and his service dog went to the bank, and then they think he fell asleep in his car, and both him and the dog perished.
Oh my gosh. He couldn't have been very old.
In his mid-40s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, dear. I missed that.
Yeah, that was the other day.
Oh, wow.
I can't tell you what his name, Benji something or other. I didn't write it down.
Oh, my. When you hear stuff like that, text me. I write it down.
Okay.
Because I think that's important. You know, we're at a time where I think there's a big changeover of artists, you know?
Yeah.
We watched Arnold Schwarzenegger today, who's only 6'2", but he's like well into his 70s.
Oh, absolutely. Well, Justin always says this, is that we're at an age where all the people that we grew up with, all the TV shows, all the movies, all the music that we grew up with, we're watching those people die.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. You know, and that's absolutely true, that stuff like that. And then you've got Mick Jagger, who's about 1,000 and still kicking.
Every once in a while, there's a meme of Keith Richards, a black and white picture of Keith Richards holding a baby. And that the identity of that baby usually changes. But the last time I saw it, the baby was Betty White, who was almost 100 when she died.
Oh my gosh, I've never seen that. That's hilarious. Right there, talk about an old guy. He's at least 2,000.
He's 195 if he's a day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So things are changing and you know, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, and this whole business with Biden and Trump and the Project 2025, that scares me. I can't believe that more people aren't afraid of something like that.
Well, the fact that there are so many people that are supporting this.
Oh my gosh, she just showed me that meme of Keith Richards holding a baby and it's Betty White. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
You know, we should be afraid of these fundamentalist organizations that are controlling politicians. We should be afraid of fundamentalism in any regard.
Right.
And the fact that all of a sudden we're a Christian nation. Does nobody know why we left England?
To get away from that.
To get away from religious persecution.
Yes. And
how can we be the world's melting pot if we're a Christian nation? That right. Doesn't make any fucking sense.
Nope. Nope.
And the fact that all these people are willing to overlook the myriad of world religions that make up America.
Right.
It's just shocking.
Right. Right. They want us to step back to, I don't know, 1950 or something, I think. We've come too far for that.
If they wanted everything to go back to that, they should have never changed course in the 80s.
Right.
This is all, everything we live through today is because of Ronald Reagan.
Right.
And if we really want to go back, we really should have never had Ronald Reagan. We should have never allowed anything that he wanted to do to go through.
Right.
Because he was controlled by Christian fundamentalists.
Right. I agree. That is a matter of record. And I'm afraid for the young women in our country.
It's terrible.
They're going to be, I have no words. I have no words. And I keep hearing more and more about this, and it really scares me.
Every time you hear something new about Project 2025, it's just, okay.
Unbelievable to me.
It's insane. It's all bad. I was listening to a podcast and they were talking about it. What did they say? That Ben Carson wrote a chapter of like the manifesto that they're working off of. And I was just like, oh, that tracks. That guy is great. That guy's literally crazy.
Oh my.
He might be a brain surgeon, but he's literally a crazy person.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't understand. Why do we want to go back to the way we were? Why can't we be progressive?
I don't know. And Biden keeps making these gaffes.
Oh.
It's embarrassing.
But have you noticed all of the people that are saying he needs to step back are all old white hairs? That scares me even more. Why are these old people saying this other old guy should step back? Well, y'all step back.
Well, unfortunately, we live in a patriarchy where no old man is going to step aside for a younger person ever.
Correct.
You know, Mitch McConnell has had several mini strokes on camera. He's still kicking.
Yes.
He's still holding down his job.
And
Dianne Feinstein was 4,000 years old getting wheeled into chambers,
and,
you know,
falling asleep
the
whole time. And told to say yes. Just told to say yes.
Yeah, it's, you know, old people in power are never going to go away.
No.
But it's hard. It's hard. It's hard to overlook this. I think he just introduced Ukrainian President Zelensky as Vladimir Putin.
I thought it was Donald Trump.
No,
no,
he
what
said
was the
that,
other thing?
He said that Vice President
he called
Trump.
Him Vice President, yes.
Yeah.
Ah.
And it's just like, somebody needs to be doing a better job of coaching him. Somebody should be writing his stuff that he should have note cards.
No.
He 100% can't go out and just start speaking off the
no.
top of his head, because he can't keep a single thought together. But conversely, you look at Donald Trump and he's the same exact goddamn way. He'll
yeah.
talk in circles all day.
Right.
And I think he thinks it's funny.
Yes. I don't understand. And you know, we've been saying that since the beginning, that when they were deciding who was going to be the delegates for these positions, we said a long time ago that it should be someone younger, someone more different, not an old white guy. We got two old white guys.
Well,
they need to go.
Unfortunately, the state of politics is such that it doesn't matter. We had Obama for 8 years. What did we really get? A healthcare system that kind of sucks. That it's not as great as they claimed it would be.
Right.
And it's
Well, it's.
Is it really any better than the way it was?
No, I don't think so.
So, I mean, you know, what did he do?
And it was all shot apart because the old white guys in the Senate and the Congress. I think it probably could have been better if there had been more progressive thinkers in the houses, but no. And actually, it's too late to change now.
Oh, 100%. I mean, at this point, we just have to wait for him to die.
Yeah, why have we rowed out to the middle of the river and decided we got to make a change?
Well, unfortunately, I think up until very recently, this cognitive decline has been really, really quick for Biden. You know, he used to be a little bit sharper. Not making a gaffe in every single speech he makes.
Yeah.
But he's doing it every single time he talks now.
Right.
And.
But Donald Trump lies about something every time he talks. I don't know. I don't get it.
He also misspeaks a lot too.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
You know. And I love that Donald Trump is really trying to distance himself from the Project 2025 when like 90% of the people involved with it are people that were like in his cabinet, people
right.
that are in his circle. And it's just like, okay, dude.
I was reading somewhere that it's a group of 140 some people have gotten together to write this up. What?
It's like a 900 page manifesto.
Yes. Yes. But 140 people are going to tell the whole country what's going to happen? I don't get that.
Unfortunately, that's how the United States started.
Yep. You are right.
It's a group of guys got together and told everybody this is how it's going to be.
Yep.
I
don't know.
Did you know that there was a place in Georgia, there was a something called the Georgia Guidestone?
Yes. Yes.
That told everybody how it was going to be if civilization collapsed and how to rebuild.
Yes.
Those somehow got damaged somehow and they're torn down now, but.
Well, I don't think they're torn down, are they?
I think so.
Because that's a lot of stuff on the ancient aliens.
Oh, it's the Georgia Guidestones.
You know, we can go right back to that. Those monoliths in parentheses that keep turning up. And it's really not known who did those Georgia Guidestones. And a lot of people think it might be the Rosicrucians. So,
oh,
you know,
okay.
who knows?
Sure.
Who knows? And now those silver things are turning up everywhere. Have you seen that on the news?
Oh, is those the monoliths?
Is that what they call them?
I think
any kind of pillar type statue, is that what it is?
I guess.
But yeah, they're turning up here, there, and everywhere now. And nobody, I don't understand how nobody sees these things happening. How can you put something in the middle of a park in a populated area and nobody knows how it happened?
I don't.
Aliens.
Okay. Well,
aliens.
I mean, it would be one thing if like they found that these monoliths were like recording devices or something.
Antennas.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
But, I mean. I think they're just finding out it's just metal.
Yeah, stainless steel for the most part, I believe.
I mean, okay, weird. Sure.
On my way home, I'm going to build one at the corner of your house.
Okay.
But don't tell anybody.
I won't.
Just discover it and, you know, make a big deal of it.
Okay.
Oh, Lexi, should we stop this?
It's a little short, but we can. I am sleepy.
Yeah, I know. And because it's a midnight movie, this is even later than the usual midnight movie.
Oh, absolutely.
Do. We're usually doing this midnight movie by 11 or 12 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right.
Today, we did not even start until 2 o'clock.
Right.
So, poor Lexi. She's having a rough time. We might make this a short one.
Okay. Okay.
I enjoyed the movie.
Good. I'm glad.
I'm glad that those two people suggested we watch this. I appreciate this. And if anybody else has something you think we need to look at, or you think that Mom needs to look at, absolutely, let us know. I'm having fun.
Yeah. And I'm having fun watching Mom watch these movies.
Through my fingers.
Yeah.
There was a lot of finger clutching today.
Yeah, because there was a lot of stabbing.
There was. My good heavensness.
I mean,
they stabbed right through the milk carton, for Christ's sake.
But you have to think, if you can turn into anything, why wouldn't you turn into a sword? Why wouldn't you turn into an axe? Why wouldn't you?
I would. Absolutely. Absolutely.
My only question, though, is that with liquid steel like that, morphing and such, how do you get a sharp edge?
Oh. There's something to think about.
Yeah.
And how, you know, the claws, when he was clawing up the back of that car, how can it be hardened steel that quickly?
Oh.
Interesting.
See, that's a good question.
Yeah. But that's us thinking too much.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're not supposed to be thinking so hard, but
no. But my thing was, they had that whole business went up around those pieces they found at the steel factory of his arm and a piece of that chip. So, you know, if you don't believe in the alien stuff, Area 41 or whatever it is.
51.
51. Or what is down there at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base? Think about it.
The world may never know.
No.
You know, I've been to that museum, the Wright-Patterson Air Force Museum.
Yes.
A million times.
Yes. It's interesting to look at.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff like that is interesting. Like I've said before, went to the Football Hall of Fame. Not interested in football. It was really interesting. I went to see the bats made. That was really interesting. I don't know. That's just me. Craziness.
Yeah, we went to, when I was in Washington, D.C., we went to the Smithsonian. That was really cool.
Oh, I'd like to go there. I'd like to see the Hope Diamond.
I tried to take pictures of it, but they all came out shitty.
The flash.
Probably.
That's to protect it. Yeah. Fun stuff.
Yeah.
Go out, get a little culture.
Yeah.
Go to your local museum.
Yeah, go to a museum. Read a book.
Yes.
Read up on Project 2025 if you've got a billion years to spare.
Yeah. Yeah, really make you think about who you should vote for.
Well, these Project 2025 people are saying that it'll be a bloodless revolution if the Democrats allow that. And it's just like...
I don't think either side is right.
Neither side is right, but
neither side is wrong either. If you want to get right down to it, but everybody's wrong. We can't keep going backward. We cannot keep going backward.
No. It's all too much.
Yep. Yep. Oh my gosh, we gotta stop this.
Yeah.
We're getting deep and aggravated. But But the movie was good. I did enjoy it. We had a little bit of a cat fight in the middle of it. But that's, you know, that's what happens when you have three different people living together.
Yep.
We had a great meal.
Meal was good.
Just a really enjoyable day, Lex. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. I had a good time. Go find our TikTok. Go look at the pictures that I posted for today on our Facebook group. Our executive producer, Ash, was watching me watch the movie. That was adorable.
Yes, it was.
Pictures of our Mexican meal on our American flag plates.
Yes, leftover from 4th of July. Were they on the clearance rack?
We've had those forever.
Oh. I thought, oh, Justin's been shopping the clearance rack again.
Nope. Well, that was probably from like last year, but we finally just got to the bottom of them.
That's it. You just keep getting new plates and putting them on the top. Putting them on the top.
Yep.
That's what I do. Who wants to wash dishes?
Oh, what a pain in the ass. Yeah. I don't know if you saw my sink. It's full.
I didn't see nothing.
Okay, good.
My sink's only empty because I worked 3 days on getting the dishes done.
Ooh.
Oh, gosh, I hate doing dishes.
I do too.
That's the only thing I hate about my kitchen. No dishwasher.
Yeah.
But if I do ever remodel the kitchen, I'm going to get a dish drawer. It's just a drawer. Because it's just me there. I don't need a big dishwasher.
Yeah, it's true.
So I would do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure, when you're rich.
Right. Got to play the lottery. Well, I don't know. With Social Security maybe on the axing block. Maybe I better not be even thinking about stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
I will have to get a job.
Ugh, gross.
Yeah. Oh, well. All right. Well, think of a new movie. We haven't talked about anything new.
We barely figured this one out.
Yeah, we did just do this on Tuesday, didn't we?
Yep.
That's all right. It was a good one. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
All right, until the next time we see you, have a great day, week, 2 weeks, whatever.
Take it easy.
Bye.
Bye.